RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Sunday afternoon with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we talk a lot about the Falcons, but college football is right around the corner as well. And coaches' poll has already come out, and obviously we've got a lot of misalignment, realignment, whatever we're calling it now these days. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to the senior writer for 247 Sports. John Talty is joining us, and you can find him on his personal Twitter page, at JTalty. John, appreciate a few minutes here in Atlanta. Thanks for being on the show today.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
So before we get into all the craziness with the conference and stuff like this, you know, what do you think was the breakdown with this negotiated deal that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh and the NCAA had? Like, what kind of all of a sudden changed in this? Is Jim Harbaugh just betting on himself in this scenario? Or what kind of changed it all of a sudden this 23rd and a half hour?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think people expected it to be resolved. And, you know, talking to some people around Michigan, that was certainly the expectation that he was going to miss the first four games of the season. And then it breaks down like we saw it yesterday. To me, just, you know, it seems like much more of on the NCAA committee of infraction standpoint. You know, they released a statement yesterday to the media that was, you know, a little spicy, honestly, and more so than you would expect from an NCAA statement, making, you know, clear to point out that it wasn't just a cheeseburger, as has kind of been referred to, about these violations. And I thought it was interesting. Tom Mars, you know, a guy who's represented plenty of different athletes and things against the NCAA in the past, has been, you know, one of Jim's lawyers, and he expressed some, you know, issue with the fact that they're not allowed to talk about the case as part of the situation, and then the NCAA is issuing a pretty strong statement. So I felt like the NCAA Committee of Infractions kind of went against, I guess, the deal. I mean, we see it sometimes in real life too, where, you know, a prosecutor will negotiate a plea deal or something like that, and the judge ultimately says no to it and sends it back. So I think that's a little bit of kind of what happened here. But, you know, I guess the good news is that for Jim is that, you know, he's going to get a chance to coach every game this season. But I do think it'll lead to even more speculation, especially if he's looking at a big penalty down the line that, you know, he might have NFL interest again.
Well, you know, again, can Michigan, I mean, that's been some of the rumor too, is Michigan instituting its own in-house, you know, discipline or penalties, you know, for Harbaugh to kind of, you know, get through all of this. I mean, is that something that Michigan would look at doing themselves?
Well, if we look at kind of the precedent and track record, the NCAA typically has rewarded schools that take, you know, actions into their own hands. We saw it recently with Tennessee where, you know, if you can kind of get ahead of it a little bit, you know, sometimes they give you the benefit of the doubt. But I think the situation is a little bit different. I mean, again, we'll see what they end up deciding to do. But the fact that they had, you know, come to this resolution, that had this negotiated deal, and then it got blown up at kind of the last minute, to me would lend toward not really doing anything on your own and just kind of waiting to see how it all plays out. And I think, you know, those four games weren't exactly against the best teams in the country, but it's also, I mean, this is a Michigan team that feels like it has a real shot to, you know, win a national championship. So I don't think you'd really want to put any particularly, you know, strenuous self-imposed penalties on yourself, knowing that the potential of this team.
And you mentioned about, obviously, they are number two in the coaches poll. Were you a little bit surprised that Georgia wasn't the unanimous favorite? I mean, I know Alabama got four votes. Actually, Ohio State only got one vote in this thing. But you surprised a little bit that Georgia, I know the idea of three-peating, you know, is probably out of the question. But, again, this has been the most, you know, dominant program the last 2 years, and no reason to think that they won't go into the SEC championship undefeated again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's two things. I think it's one, like you pointed out, you know, the challenges that come with, you know, trying to win three in a row are obviously very arduous. And so I think there's some people probably just, you know, hey, there's no way they're going to win three in a row. I'll vote for somebody else. But I also think it's kind of a little bit of what we saw last year. And I think there's more respect this time around. But, you know, after Georgia wins its first national championship, they obviously lose, you know, quite a few talented guys to the NFL draft. And, you know, they were not the preseason pick last year. That was Alabama. And I think some people kind of doubted that they were going to be able to keep it up. And so I think we're seeing a little bit of that this year, round two, where, again, they lost multiple really talented guys to the NFL, including, you know, Stetson Bennett, who seemed to be playing pretty well the other night in the NFL. But, yeah, I think there's questions. All right, who's going to be the starting QB? How good is he going to be? You know, how are they going to play some of the guys on defense? Those typical type questions. But clearly there's still a lot of respect for them to be at the top. And, you know, if the AP poll coming out tomorrow, I would expect, you know, Georgia to be number one in that as well.
John Talty joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Excuse me, senior writer for 247 Sports. So, you know, I describe conferences as cities, in the sense that a city is either progressing or it's regressing. You can't just stand still and continue to – you're either going to go in one direction or the other. I feel like that's the way conferences are now. If you're not growing and expanding, then you're going to get left behind. And, look, I know about the geographic challenges that – and I guess four schools are opposed to – Cal and Stanford being in the ACC, but you have to grow. I mean, that's the reality of where this thing is. And, you know, again, the Pac-12 thought that if everything was just going to kind of be the way that it was, and all of a sudden, once one school, that domino effect kind of fell. Do you feel that way? I mean, do you feel like conferences have to kind of be open to the idea of expanding, or you're going to get left behind?
Well, whether they have to or not, I guess, is up for debate. But I think certainly they feel like they have to. And I think, to your point, you know, one of the number one area where I feel like there's that need for growth is in the financial revenue standpoint. It feels like these schools think if we're not growing at the same level as, say, the SEC or the Big Ten, then we're falling behind. And, you know, I go back to a famous Teddy Roosevelt quote that I think applies to the situation, and that's, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. And I think ACC is a great example. You know, a lot of these schools have done very well. Clemson's obviously, you know, kind of developed itself into a national power, winning multiple national championships. And it's not that they're not making a lot of money. It's just that they're not making as much money as the SEC and Big Ten. And that's led to a lot of, you know, consultation and agita and other kind of unrest within the ACC. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing really across the board. I mean, if you look at it from just comparison standpoint, I mean, they're all making way more money than they used to, but they're not comparing it to themselves. They're comparing themselves to other conferences. And so we saw what happened to the Pac-12. And I think now all eyes are on the ACC when it comes to Florida State, Clemson, whether they're able to, you know, keep those schools long-term, whether those schools challenge the grant of rights, and whether the commissioner, Jim Phillips, is able to find some creative options to try to get those schools more money, because clearly they are very upset when they look at the bottom line that they are potentially $30 million behind the, you know, Big Ten and SEC moving forward when it comes to TV revenue.
And John, was the ACC in some ways, I don't know, maybe it's luck or maybe it was savviness, but, you know, the idea of how difficult it's going to be to get out of the ACC conference, you know, without some stiff penalties, you know, maybe they were ahead of this thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just luck that it worked out the way that it is, but, you know, I feel like that, you know, we're not going to see as much movement as far as exodus from the ACC because of the difficulties of getting out of some of these conferences.
So I think it's one part brilliant and one part terrible. And here's why I'll explain that. The fact that they're locked into 2036, I think, is brilliant. I mean, like you said, it's, you know, I think eventually somebody will probably challenge it, but the fact that no one has to this point, given all the unrest, speaks to how strong of a legal document that is. And I'm not a lawyer, but I've talked to plenty of people who are, and they feel pretty strongly about the document. Now, the bad part of that deal is that the fact that they are locked into a TV deal until 2036, that's right. Not getting any better. So it's kind of a, you know, you can look at it, it's a catch-22 in some regard. It gives them in some ways strength, but it also limits their ability to go back to market the way we saw the Big Ten do and the SEC do. So, you know, the ACC made a decision in which they badly wanted a conference TV network. So they took a longer-term deal that is just falling behind the rest of the conferences. So it gives them strength, but it also clearly is leading to schools like Florida State saying, like, we can't wait until 2036 to get a better deal. Like, it's 2023. Like, we got to find ways in the near term to start making more money. And so that's a real big question that we got to figure out.
And John, you know, I think that in some ways, and this may seem odd when I say this, but I think Notre Dame came out as a winner in all of this, that, again, they don't have to go to a football conference and be a football member. They can stay with basketball and swimming and polo and everything else in the ACC, but they don't have to. I don't think at the end of the day, I don't think it behooves them to get into a football conference. They may not get the money that they're exactly looking for, but I still think that their independence has a lot of value to it on the marketplace.
No question. I mean, you could argue they are holding the best hand in college football right now, because if they ever decided to give up their independence, the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, you could throw Big 12 in there too, even though it wouldn't make sense, every single one of them would gladly take Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. So they know that if the, you know, the carousel stops spinning at some point, they have a seat anywhere they want it. But they don't need it right now. They have an incredible deal. I do think it's a little interesting that, you know, they were allegedly one of the schools pushing for the ACC to expand, and yet they're not even a full member there. So they kind of are able to have their cake and eat it too, in which they can do whatever they want with football. They're obviously making a tremendous amount of money through NBC with that. And then all of their other sports that really don't generate revenue, they're able to park safely in the ACC. I mean, it's an incredible deal that they have. And, you know, I think if you're them, there's no reason to give up your independence unless you're absolutely forced to, and it doesn't seem like that's likely anytime soon.
Last question for you, John. What do you think ultimately happens to the Pac-12? Like, I don't think that they're going to just disband their conference and they're going to get rid of the Pac-12. I think they'll do whatever they have to hold on to whatever financial, you know, obligations are or whatever. What do you think ultimately happens to the Pac-12?
Yeah, I mean, there's a person who I enjoy following on Twitter named Andrew Brandt. He has this kind of quote that, you know, there will be lawyers, right? And so that to me is my first answer, is there will be lawyers, and there are already lawyers involved, in which there's a lot of complicated things to figure out. You know, if you decide to try to keep it together, figuring out, you know, what schools can we add, you know, whether that's adding schools from the American Conference, which have a lesser exit fee, whether it's trying to merge with the Mountain West, because otherwise those schools have a, you know, pretty onerous exit fee. If it's disbanding, is it there a way to keep, you know, the NCAA units that you get through basketball, TV? There's just a lot of really complicated things to figure out. So in some ways, the Pac-12 imploded pretty fast. But I think the actual end resolution here, whether it's the end overall or some sort of rebranding, I think is going to take some time. Things are still moving quickly. Clearly, there's different people involved. You know, Oliver Luck is now involved for the Pac-12 trying to help advise them moving forward. But there's some different options at hand, and I don't think it's necessarily the end of the Pac-12. I think it's still a brand that has some cachet, and I think it's certainly, you know, there's some strong things within it. But there's only four schools, so they've got to figure some things out about whether they're all going to go their own way or whether there's a way to really reform it in a way that makes sense for everybody. So I think we'll see some resolution, some of it coming up, but I think overall some of the complicated issues are going to take a while to figure out.
John Talti is the senior writer for 247 Sports, and he joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can find him on his personal Twitter page, at Jay Talti. John, really appreciate the conversation. Thanks, buddy, for a few minutes in Atlanta, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, appreciate it.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, we will get a little bit more in this Jim Harbaugh conversation, because sounds like Jim Harbaugh's really betting on himself in all of this. Chuck, we're hanging out with you in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.